Good morning. Good morning. I'll try this until I get it. Good morning. There we go. We're going to spend the first 20 minutes this morning checking on, making sure our camera's set just exactly right so we can get things going just perfect. And then we'll move them again. No, I'm just joking. Hey, I had an amazing trip to India and an okay trip back. the trip over is fine. You go from here to New York, sit in the airport for a while, then you fly from New York to Mumbai, sit in the airport for a while, fly from Mumbai to Delhi, and then you stay the night in Delhi. The next morning you fly from Delhi to Imphal, and then Sangha drives you 2.5 hours up into the mountains to see the kids. On the way back, you do it all in one day. You start, and then you come back to Imphal, you fly to Delhi, you wait in Delhi, you fly from there to Mumbai, then you fly from there to Newark, and you fly from there to Pittsburgh. I left 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, and I got home about 5 o'clock on Friday evening. So it was a long trip on the way home. I think the monsoons followed me. In fact, yeah, it is just the beginning of the monsoon season, and they had 2 or 3 nights over there, which were, wow. I wasn't sure I'd wake up in the morning and not have a boat beside my window, trying to save me. But the kids were amazing, and in fact, I would say this time may have been one of the most unique trips for me, primarily because Sangha's second son, Siam, was getting married while we were there, and I got a chance to be there. And in fact, Jan Swinson officiated the wedding. Let me say that again. Jan Swinson officiated the wedding. Can you imagine? Right? It was fascinating. And the wedding was done in 3 different languages. Jan only spoke one. fascinating stuff. The husband and new husband and new wife do not have the same natural tongue, so they don't speak the same language. They speak English. Yeah, that might be an advantage. Is that what you're thinking? There's a common connection between the two of them. They both speak English, but it was a very fascinating activity. But because of the wedding, they took me to Angel's Place, stayed one day with me, and then left me at Angel's Place. Normally, they're beside me every moment of every day. And I think they do that a little bit to kind of protect me from what I might learn and, all those kind of things. So it was great. It was great. And I got to tell you, there were some, I think the 28th, I'll do a presentation for the church and give you some update. But a couple real quick highlights. We've been talking about vocational education for the children. And the first thing that they initiated was sewing and tailoring. I got a chance to see all the tutors. How about this? They start tutoring the children at 5:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. And the kids are up by 4:45 usually anyway, but that's when they do the tutoring. And then when they come home from school about 4 o'clock, then they have the vocational training. And right now, the one that is set up is sewing. And then soon they'll be baking, and they've started the tally class as well, which is a software class on data, kind of bookkeeping. But here was the really amazing thing. We went to the wedding, and class 11 and 12 children came to the wedding as well from Angel's Place, and they sang at the wedding. Remarkable. I've got a video of it if you're interested. 4-part harmonies. It was absolutely beautiful. And there were maybe 12 girls. Each of their dresses was made by the sewing class. And they were beautiful. They're pink, and they have a little band around the, like a little belt, and they were pleated, and they were just beautiful. And the class had done that as a gift to Siam, who is one of their leaders. So it was a really amazing, amazing trip. Anybody want to go with me next time, let me know. You do have to get a little bit of work done ahead of time. Requires a visa to get into India. And it takes about a month and a half to get the visa. But it lasts for 10 years, so you don't have to do it, once. But if anybody is interested, seriously, I'd love to take more people over. They enjoy seeing people. It's funny, at the wedding, Jan and I were actually the only two white people in the whole state of Manipur. And there were more pictures taken of him and I at that wedding than there were of the bride and groom. Everybody wanted a picture with the tall white guys. So if you follow Facebook, and I do not, but I see these little things that I was tagged in certain pictures, and there's pictures of me with these, you know, different folks. It's kind of fascinating, but it's a great, 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 amazing thing that's happening over there. So we'll talk more about that. But today we're talking about blessings. And in fact, what we've done, and thank you, Mickey, is that you do last week too? Thank you. I appreciate that very much because, you know, I started a class and then took 2 weeks off. You know, my sabbatical is what I was calling. But we started a class talking a little bit about blessings, and we've used specifically as our kind of core scripture, James 1, 17 and 18. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. And we've talked about how we have been given certain blessings for a specific reason. The first week we talked about how God gives us blessings for our benefit, but God also gives us blessings to bless others. And so for each week we've been talking a little bit about considering what the blessings mean, but also what do they mean for us as how we bless other people. So we've talked about physical blessings and relationship blessings and financial blessings. And today we're going to talk about spiritual blessings. But before we do that, let's have a quick word of prayer. Okay? Father and Lord, we thank you for all that you've given us. The rain this morning, the ability to be here together, to study your word. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. And we ask that you help us to recognize each blessing and use it to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me ask you a question. What are spiritual blessings? Spiritual blessings. There's actually two scriptures that use it. I'll read them for you very quickly, and then you tell me what spiritual blessings mean. First one says, how, moreover, I am on my way, says Paul speaking, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. This is Romans 15, 25 and 27. I'm on my way to Jerusalem to the service of the Lord's people there, for Macedonia and Achaia are pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They are pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. Spiritual blessings. Here's the other scripture that uses it. This is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what are spiritual blessings? Yeah.
Salvation, grace, peace, joy, love, forgiveness.
Okay. So we're going to talk specifically about salvation in a couple weeks. So why is grace, joy, why are those spiritual blessings?
Those are not something you can touch.
Okay. Can't touch my intellect. Is that a spiritual blessing? Not in my case, but it could be. Okay. I sat on my glasses on the way back, and this half of the room is blurry, and this half of the room is gray, so I got to fix these. Yeah.
I mean, I would think intellect. Anybody can have intellect. With sharing in the Jews, the Gentiles, spiritual. Yeah, that stuff you get by having a relationship, you know, with the church. And even things that aren't so good. Sometimes, you know, trials and, you know, things like that are blessings because they, you know, bring you closer to God, keep you on your knees.
Hey, guess what? Next week is trials is a blessing. So thank you for that. That was a little bit of a commercial for that. We'll talk about that next week. Yeah, thank you. Nick?
Well, in the context here in Romans, I think he's talking about when he says the Gentiles have come to share in their, meaning the Jewish spiritual blessings, it reads to me that we were grafted onto the vine. We were allowed in. You know, the Jews have this blessing, this direct link to the Creator. And our spirit, what we've been able to share in, is to be able to buy into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. I got 3 or 4 other hands here. I'll go to Larry first.
The blessings we get through our relationship with God is through Jesus. He's given us that. He's given us His Son to help us through the relationship with God through His Son. Everything is through His Son.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. That's right. I mean, everything is through God, though, right? I mean, our physical blessings, our financial blessings, our... But you're right. The relationship blessings, which is we talked about the week before last. You're right. Was it Jim?
When I think of your physical and spiritual blessings, I think of the two sides of who we are. We have our physical body, physical blessings. But then we also have our soul and our spirit, and that has spiritual blessings.
Okay. Good. Good. And Mike?
Some blessings, according to Scripture, God gives to everybody no matter what.
It rains on the
righteous man. And I think when the New Testament is talking about spiritual blessings and even spiritual things, spiritual truths, that has to do with the gospel itself. And are you grafted in, as was said? Are we, and it's not, it sounds exclusive, and it is, but... That's because you have to accept it. It's offered by God, but those spiritual blessings are not accepted by God, not received by God.
So you're saying there may be some blessings we have as Christians or followers of the way that others do not?
Yes.
There's a couple of hands over here. Mark?
More specifically, not back in that time before Jesus died, but now, as soon as you come up out of the water, you have the Holy Spirit. Others done.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically.
Good. Others? Yeah, Joy?
I think one example of the question you just asked is our fervent prayers for each other in times of trial and illness and those kind of things. That's certainly a spiritual blessing to all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I appreciate your input and thoughts on this from the very first one all the way through. But, you know, the thing that struck me was, remember the first class I had when I put the board up here? And I asked you to list your blessings? Do you remember how heavy the physical and financial and things like that were and how light it was? I mean, we all said salvation, but it was kind of light on the spiritual blessing side. Maybe that was just me, but when I made my list, it was the same way. But you know what? We have a real blessing, and that is in Ephesians 1. Everybody go to Ephesians 1, please. Ephesians 1, this is the one that I read that says, Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Because if we read the rest of this context, he explains this. So let's spend a minute and read the rest, and then we'll talk about this. What I'm asking you to do here is to look for the specific spiritual blessings you see in this scripture. Okay? So I'm going to start in verse 3 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with all his pleasure and will, to be the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to the ones he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding he made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the will of the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, a promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. Do you see any specific blessings in there? Yes? I counted seven.
I was
going to
say a million.
Yeah, a million, right? But I counted seven specific ones. Mark? Yes. All right. So let's spend a minute with the first one. By the way, interestingly enough, that the word in this context that is translated blessing is eulogy. Does that sound familiar?
Greek.
Thank you. No, it's all Greek to you, right? In Greek, it was eulogy. And what does eulogy mean? A good word.
Speaking good of
someone. We tend to use it at funerals, but a eulogy is speaking good. And so one of the authors I was reading behind said, you know what? This means God has spoken good things on our behalf. And here are the things that he said. And Mark said the first one was being chosen. So again, let's look at verse 4. He says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. What do you think about that? Why is that a blessing? Why is that a spiritual blessing? Jim.
One thing, I don't know if we think about it this way, but this isn't an ad hoc decision. This isn't something that he just on a whim, you know, I appear on a whim, he's decided that, you know, if I respond correctly, that I'll be in the room. This is something he put in place long ago. And he said, you know, this is how it will.
Do you notice, thank you, Jim. Do you notice anything else about this? When did he put it in place? Before the foundation of the world. So what does that mean? He put this plan in place before creation. And therefore, before
time and space.
Adam and Eve. And what about Adam and Eve? What came along with Adam and Eve?
Sin.
Isn't that interesting? He chose us before the foundation. This is a spiritual blessing. To have been chosen before the creation of the world to be blameless in his sight. Mark?
Well, that's very interesting that it was in his mind before the creation, because you have all these different people say, well, I started this church at this particular time, or you know, they founded this religion at this particular time, or everybody always had all these denominations and different things. All that doesn't mean anything. It goes all the way back to our head. But his plan of salvation, even before man, even God won't be the man. You know what I mean? So it tells us how God already pre-planned this all the way out. He would fall the man. And how we need to talk about the types of religions.
Yeah, interesting point. Yeah. Share with you another quick scripture here. This is from Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in trespasses. For it's by grace you've been saved. So, you know, here we hear that not only one of the blessings we have was that God set aside a people for himself that were going to be holy and blameless from the very beginning. That's one blessing. Look at the second verse there. Verse 5. I'm going to start. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So what's the spiritual blessing there?
Acceptance.
Adoption.
sonship, right? We can talk about all of those as,
I mean, and this group is an educated, Christian group, knows that without Jesus, we wouldn't have had that because of our sin. We wouldn't have had that opportunity to be a son. And again, we go back to the point that he set this all in place before he even created the earth, knowing that this was coming. And the reason it's a blessing, it's always been there, but we as his people now can claim that blessing. Make sense? Yeah. John 1, 9 through 13 says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming to the world. He was in the world, and through the world, and though the world did, was made through him, they did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but they did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." So here, a spiritual blessing is to be a son or daughter, to have that opportunity. And why is being a son or daughter any big deal?
It's inherited.
Right, there's an inheritance. And who are we the son and daughter of? I happen to be the son of Doris and Challen Ice. And there were blessings and things that came along with that. But in this case, we are, I had a friend that used to like to refer to it as, we're a king's kid, right? To be an adopted son of the Almighty God? Now that's a blessing. Jim?
The other blessing in there is the fact that we get to make that choice. It's not, we can choose to be adopted into that family, or we can choose not to be. And it wasn't predetermined that which way that would be. And it, for Americans, that's probably us. You know, we're used to having choices, but back then, you were a slave, you were born a slave. You had no choice. You had no opportunity to choose to be adopted by someone of wealthier status. And here he's telling them, you have that choice. You can become the king's son.
It brings to mind the story of, the child that took his inheritance and ran away. Remember the story? And where's the father? The father's out on the road looking, right, and waiting. And when the son returns, he brings them back into sonship. That's significant. That is a spiritual blessing. How about the next verse that says, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has richly given to the one he loves." Glorious grace. What does grace mean?
Unmerited.
You can always tell those raised in the Church of Christ when you ask that question. Because they say, unmerited favor, right? It's something we learned very early. It is unmerited favor. So here's another blessing. Third one so far, just from this scripture. Unmerited favor we have. I love the point here, though, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given the one he loves. Right? Grace. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You know, we, I think, have a pretty good understanding that we have received grace, and this grace is a gift of God. Yes? I think we talk about that a lot. You know, it's something we recognize. But look at the last part of that. Not by works, so that no one can boast. That's also a blessing. You know, it's a blessing that when I look at you, when you look at me, when I look at the children in Angel's Place in India, a place very far away, we're all the same. We have nothing in which to boast. Because the only thing we can boast about is the grace we've been given. That's three I've counted so far. Let's look at another one. This is in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. Redemption. It's an interesting word. I remember I was always interested in that word as a kid, because my father always ends his prayers. Let's see if I get this right. In the name of our only hope and our dear Redeemer. Amen. That Redeemer word, right? It's an interesting word.
I thought it was furious because you collected green stamps as a kid.
And I redeemed them?
Yeah.
Yeah, well. My uncle did collect green stamps. It was a big thing. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm from West Virginia, right? So he chewed mail pouch. Remember mail pouch? And they had a coupon in the back, and you could collect those things and redeem them. And as soon as they stopped redeeming them, he stopped chewing. I'm only in this for the gifts, you know?
Yeah,
so true. So true. But here, right, this fourth blessing, redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins in accordance with God's rich grace. Forgiveness of sins? That's a spiritual blessing. I got to tell you that most people in the world don't recognize sin. The last class I taught, we were talking about depression and anxiety and some of these issues, and as I was trying to teach the class, I realized that I could teach people that, you know, you've got these opportunities in God because of what he's done for you. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be. But I realized if you don't understand the sin part, you don't understand you've been forgiven. Does that sound familiar? Maybe the Old Testament was a schoolmaster to teach us about sin so that we could recognize the value of what we've been forgiven from. And so in this case, we have this redemption. I'm going to read from Romans 3. This is 23 to 26. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." I mean, we hear that scripture a lot, right? That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I personally believe that if our world understood sin, we would be in a very different place today than we are. We don't think about it that way. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to recognize, a spiritual blessing, to recognize we're sinners. Because only by recognizing that can we recognize we've been forgiven. Does that make sense? Yeah. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let no one who boasts, boasts. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." So again, we have two of those topics. Again, one of them being the idea of being forgiven and the redemption that comes through grace. But then secondly, again, we hear this idea that it's a blessing for us to be relieved from being different and having to be better and having to be... Do you know what I mean? I mean, I've spent most of my career in corporate America, a few years in my own business, and now in higher ed. And the one thing that's consistent is that people in business are trying to get to the next step.
And truthfully, God didn't care. And that's a spiritual blessing that we have. Comments, thoughts? Yeah, Mick?
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting the way these kinds of words destroy high hierarchies. And incredibly, the church became such a strange hierarchical system not long after. Yeah, and to the point where in the Middle Ages and later, you could be burned at the stake for reading a translated version of the Bible in English, because you were assuming that you were a learned person or could challenge the learning of someone who knows better than you. When in reality, Paul is writing right there, he chose the foolish, he chose the uneducated to show that there is no reason for us. We are all people on the side of God. I think sometimes we still struggle with this idea that we should all be equal on the side of God. And that is it's something that our pride sometimes gets in the way.
And sometimes I think we do it, right? I mean, we tend to put ministers on a pedestal that, frankly, they don't need to be on. I mean, they may be good people, good, you know, and we might put them on the same pedestal we would anybody, right? But we have a tendency to think about them differently. It's interesting. We're all on the same. How about now I'm in blessing number 5. And this one starts at the end of verse 8 there. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity of all things in heaven and earth under Christ. What does this blessing mean? To say that with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will? Do you understand the mystery of God's will? Wait a minute. This says, let's just read it again. This says, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Do you know the mystery of his will? What do you think, Ruth? I think she's right. I don't think it's any more difficult than that. And that was a great mystery? Well, it was for most of time, right? Because they didn't know Christ was coming, or they were told he was, but they didn't understand that. Even when he was there, they didn't understand it. Now, 2,000 years later, most people don't understand it. That's a great blessing. Jim, then I'll come back to you. Sorry.
And you also have to remember the culture living in, you know, if I wanted to know the will of Zeus, I had to go, it wasn't available to me. I had to go to the temple and have a sacrifice and then split the goat open and read the bowels and the internals. And here, it's very simple. We have his words. He's told us. And there's nothing, you know, nothing hidden from us.
Yeah, I was thinking, come across a verse like that, I was thinking the people in the Old Testament and before Christ came, you know, anywhere in the world, they really didn't have redemption or forgiveness of sins. You know, like the Jews had to go and, you know, do that. They went to go and make a scapegoat and send it off or whatever to get rid of their guilt. They really didn't have that. And that's something that we have. It's like a blessing that we have now. I mean, they were looking forward to it, but, you know, it wasn't, he hadn't died yet. They weren't really redeemed. There really wasn't of Christ to, you know, get baptized and become a, you know, it wasn't there.
Yeah, in fact, you're right, the last scripture we just read before this one was suggesting that he kind of put off judgment for this purpose. I mean, you know, for those of us, particularly those of us that have been around Christianity for a long time, this is like a, of course. And it's become such a, of course,
that we forget this is an enormous blessing to understand what God's will is. Now, I'm going to tell you, in this world right now, if you say, I know God's will, what's going to happen? Who do you think you are? Right? What gives you some great divine inspiration to know God's will? Well, he did. He did. Jim, and then we'll go to Steve.
A good example is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch, why are you lost? I don't understand this. And Philip says, you know, we do now. And the Ethiopian eunuch responded, and, you know, from then on, he understood.
Great point. Steve?
I have to look at it myself, whether or not it says no or understand. And there's a difference there. If you just say, well, you know what God's will is, meaning, oh, well, we know ABC. That doesn't necessarily mean that we understand why ABC exists or how they all fit together. So that's one thing to consider, is it doesn't necessarily mean that we suddenly understand the full depth and breadth of this whole thing. Just saying, well, now you understand. I intended all along that this is what's going to take place. Jesus is going to die. He's going to be raised. You can be saved and you can be redeemed because Jesus then became the redemption price. Mm-hmm. But something that struck me was, as you're talking about people understanding sin and the whole thing about, you know, where we stand with God and all this stuff is, I think one of the things we really fall short on perceiving or keeping it in our minds is just what it means for God to forgive us. Put ourselves in His place, sort of. You know, if it's me and somebody, and I'm not going to use you as the person that you are, but somebody, you know, slaps me in the face, you know, because you wouldn't do that. I don't like that. You know, my response to that is, well, I want to punch you back harder than you hit me. And then you slap me again. Well, what's my reaction to that? Well, I really want to hit you hard now. You slap me again. And you keep on doing it on a daily basis. You slap me in the face. I want to pummel you, you know, so that there's nothing but, you know, atoms left in me. And if I had the ability to do that, well, that's what I want to do. God has that ability. But instead of doing that, He restrains that reaction, that anger, and says, I love you. I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask for forgiveness, and I will extend it to you when you do that. Wow. When we think of that and just realize how much greater it is than us, that He doesn't smack us every time we slap Him in the face when we sin. Because that's what we do. We're smacking Him in the face.
And it, you know, it does remind me of, I mean, Jesus' own words in the parable of, right, the guy who was forgiven and then went out and wrung the neck of somebody who owed him a little bit of money. I mean, he was trying to teach that same, I think, that same kind of lesson. It's a challenge. I would take Steve's comment even one step further, and that is that God has provided us a way to be forgiven, even when we don't immediately understand we did something wrong, or we do and we're still stubborn and struggling with it, we still have the grace that God's given us. This is a fascinating blessing to recognize that we have a knowledge and an understanding of God's own purpose and plan. That's, wow. Bless you, kind of. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Right.
I remember what I used to aspire to. And my conscience turned around to me and said, I'm still here regardless of what you've done to me. Mm. And I think that's one of the things that has happened in the world, that that's where we have to break through.
I appreciate that. Thank you. At some point, it might be really interesting to study the idea of this concept of made known the mystery. Because Colossians talks about the mysteries a lot. Ephesians 6 references to mystery of Christ. It would be an interesting that every time they tell us what it is, and they say, for example, Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles his glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, he identifies what the mystery is. We understand it. Because of my time, I'm going to go to the other two quick blessings I saw here. One of them, in verse 11, says, in him we are chosen, having been predestined according to the path of him who works out everything in uniformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who are put first might be the praise of his glory. It is a blessing to be someone who can glorify God. That's a blessing, a spiritual blessing. Lastly, and this was mentioned earlier, this is verse 13, you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is a spiritual blessing. Yes? And I think of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Who do we talk least about? The Holy Spirit, because it's a little confusing and it's not as easy to say brother or father. No. But when we understand it, we have a mark on us that's an inheritance. 2 Corinthians 1 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So we talked about, just in this one verse, 7 spiritual blessings. And why do we have these understanding of these spiritual blessings? I'm just going to share one scripture because of our time. And that's from Matthew 28, verse 8. When Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, we have spiritual blessings that the world does not understand, does not have. And we have the opportunity, the accountability, to share those blessings. At least we don't get to grant someone else, like I can't give Jim needs money, I can't give him $50. I can't give them spiritual blessings. God gives the spiritual blessings. But what I can do is help people know what they are and where they can be found. Does that make sense? So here's the challenge this week. Think about your spiritual blessings this week. Include that in your prayers as well. Let's have a quick prayer and we'll dismiss. Father, thank you for thinking of us both physically and spiritually and providing those blessings for us, God, that we can understand who you are, be adopted by you, recognize the grace you've given us, be praised to your name. Father, thank you for the chance to have the Holy Spirit live within us. In Jesus' name, amen.